Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
A man is in custody in connection with the murder of two entertainment veterans. This story is absolutely chilling. So this has everything to do with a big wig from American Idol, somebody who's been involved in the show for like 15 seasons. So on July 14th, police in Encino, California, in Los Angeles, had to do a welfare check on Robin Kay. She is a longtime music supervisor from American Idol, and her husband, who's a songwriter, his name is Thomas DeLuca. They were both found in their home, shot to death in separate rooms. During the investigation, detectives learned that a prior radio call from a possible burglary at that residence that day at 4 p.m. had been called by a neighbor. A neighbor had seen someone hop the fence, and they were like, oh my God, I think someone's trying to break into my neighbor's house. And so the police come, they do a little investigative thing, and they're like, oh, it doesn't look like there's any signs of forced entry. Everything must be okay. Well, then police had to do a welfare check because they're like, where are these ones? We've never heard from our two friends, or we haven't heard from our neighbors. And they had been found, again, shot to death in different parts of the home. And the investigation has now shown that they believe a 22-year-old guy named Raymond Budarian entered the home through an unlocked door. So the neighbors were correct. If this is all, he has been convicted. But if they saw what they believe that they saw, this guy probably hopped the fence, walked in through an open door. And when those two came home, he was the one, allegedly, if he did what the police believe he did, shot them both to death in the head in separate areas in the home.
So has he been apprehended? Like, is this like who is being charged?
He has been arrested. He's under surveillance right now, and they're looking at all the forensic evidence, and all of it is tying him to the scene. So he has not been convicted, but he is suspect numero uno.
Not convicted, but charged. Got it.
Yes.
And do we have a motive?
No, because I Googled this guy. I'm like, oh, how crazy would this be if this was like an American Idol contestant who was like trying to get his revenge on her for, I don't know, being somebody behind the scenes. But I Googled his name and he's just some nobody from what I can tell.
That'd be like a plot to a Netflix show right there.
No, literally.
Yeah.
So that's why when I saw it, I was like, this is fascinating. So I'm wondering what details are going to come out about this guy as the investigation continues. Like maybe he wasn't the one to go on American Idol, but maybe he's related to somebody who went on American Idol who worked on American Idol. Because as far as I can tell, like these two are just more behind the scenes people. Mm-hmm. This guy's a songwriter. This woman has been working on American Idol for like 15, 20 years. She's not Simon Cowell. She's not the one saying you can or cannot go to Hollywood. So it's very interesting to see why these two may have been targeted by this guy.
It doesn't seem random at all. It feels like it was targeted behavior.
Absolutely.
And condolences to the family and everybody they work with.
Oh my God.
That's traumatic and devastating.
It's awful. In other creepy true crime feeling news, somebody who accompanied the allegedly haunted ragdoll Annabelle has passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. So if you've ever seen, I can't remember, is it not Paranormal Activity, it's like The Exorcist or something?
The Conjuring movies
are all about like this Raggedy Ann doll Annabelle, which is allegedly haunted.
Yeah, so the original Annabelle, the one in the movie, is like this creepy little girl kind of doll, but the original doll was a life-size Raggedy Ann, which my wife, Renee, has an exact duplicate of the doll that was possessed and is literally in a case somewhere, you know, kept safe. And Renee wanted to get rid of that doll. I'm like, no freaking way.
So Annabelle is basically a celebrity. She's like the Taylor Swift of the paranormal world. And Annabelle is currently on tour that included a 3-day stop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And after the third day of this tour in this particular stop, the 54-year-old paranormal investigator that was accompanying Annabelle on tour has died unexpectedly. So they have paid their, the New England Society for Psychic Research, they have paid tribute to him. They're like, this guy was great. Thank you for all your service. But they're not blaming the doll for the death. But of course, everybody is looking at this situation and going, this is very suspicious. We've seen several movies about this.
And it happened in Gettysburg?
In Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
You know, there was a famous battle there, and there's a lot of ghosts and stuff like that. Yeah. When you mix it all together, it's a little on the eerie side.
Might be time to get rid of that doll, Tommy.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Ever since the new Superman movie came out, there has been a 513% increase in this one thing. And for me, I think it's the 513% increase in my heart palpitating every time I see Superman edits on social media. That man is fine. But that's not the actual statistic. There has been a 513% increase in dog adoption searches ever since Superman came out, and it probably has everything to do with the fact that Superman has a foster dog in this film, of course, named Crypto. So the phrase "adopt a dog near me" has increased by 513%. There's also been a 163% increase in quote "rescue dog adoption near me" and a 299% increase in "adopt a schnauzer," because even though Crypto is a mutt, he kind of looks like a schnauzer and was created with CGI, so he's also a fake dog. So I think we're going to see a 100% increase and adopt an AI dog. But it was Crypto was modeled after director James Gunn's own rescue dog Ozu, and once he heard about the surge in dog adoption interest, he said, you know, this film has been a barrage of blessings for me. This one may be the greatest. Ozu has no idea any of this is happening, but if he did, he'd be proud.
Can I take the role as fun sucker here for a second?
Don't do it.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it because I think it's a responsible thing to say. Don't let your kids talk you into adopting or getting a dog after this if you're not really ready, because I love these statistics. I really do. Kids are like, can we get a dog now? Can we get a dog now? And under pressure, you get the dog, and then you realize, like, it's more work than you thought, and the kids aren't helping, even though they said, oh, no, 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 we're going to help, and they don't. And then you end up 60 days later giving the dog back. So just make an educated decision.
That's fair.
I'm not mad at that PSA, because I think that's an important one.
Well, you know I'm me. I like to be the voice of reason.
thanks for bringing down the mood.
I know, buzzkill.
All right, this is really interesting, because yesterday we were talking about the fact that some of Beyonce's unreleased music was stolen from her choreographer's car at Krog Street Market here in Atlanta. And now the 911 call has been released, where the choreographer had to call in and report this theft. And listening to it is so fascinating now, knowing like the details of it and knowing who he's calling on behalf for. But you can tell in this call, he's trying to keep it on the DL, even with the dispatcher.
Someone broke into my car.
Okay. Oh, are you at a business? Parked at a business?
No. I was parked at a in a garage while I went to a restaurant. But they stole, like, my computers and everything, but it has a tracker on it.
What level are you on?
On the main level.
Do you have an address of where your computer is?
So it's following them, because it's on Find My iPhone. They have my computers, and it's really, really important information in there. Like, I work with someone who's, like, of a high status, and I really need the
what's
my computer
name?
And everything. It's under.
So I mean, he's like, he can't be like, I have Beyonce's unreleased music on here. He's got to be like, oh, it's a high status individual. You know, I'm following him, watching them go into the Whataburger down the street from me. You know, to get a little snack from thieving from a car.
I love that they have a tracker in it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Makes sense, yeah. Connected to your Find My Phone.
Yeah.
For some reason, it feel like them saying I'm working for someone of a high status is, like, not high enough for Beyonce.
Yeah, right?
Like, high status don't really
I am working
it.
For a global icon. I'm working for God's favorite. I'm going to need you to speed this investigation up.
And just as a human being, the 911 dispatcher, I would have been like, okay, who is it?
Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Well, if I'm the 911 dispatcher, I'm on the phone around thinking, okay, what do you mean high status? Like, you're probably just trying to bump your case up to the top.
But exactly.
Little did she know, he was calling on behalf of Beyonce.
Some of my favorite memes that are coming out of this, the fact that her, you know, her choreographer's car was broken into in Atlanta. There was one woman who got on and said, Beyonce, this ain't Texas. You can't leave your stuff in your car in Atlanta. It's going to get taken. And I'm like, that is big facts. You see the signs everywhere.
Yeah.
We really like to break into cars in Atlanta. You can't be leaving your stuff in it, man.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Two incredibly popular TV shows got snubbed for this year's Emmy nominations. So the 2025 Emmy nominees were announced yesterday, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to find out that both Squid Games and The Handmaid's Tale pretty much got no love from the Emmy voters. So The Handmaid's Tale, which is an incredibly popular TV show that I think just wrapped up, what, its 10th season?
It's one of my favorites. It's the end. Like, it was the series finale.
Yeah, so it only got one nomination, and it was for a guest starring role. Yellow Jackets, which has been another Emmy favorite. It's gotten 10 nominations for its first two seasons, but in its third season, it got absolutely zero nominations. A lot of people are going to be shocked to find out that Patrick Schwarzenegger, he did not get recognized for going full frontal for The White Lotus. I feel like everybody was talking about some of his scenes this year in The White Lotus. He had a very ballsy scene where...
really? I didn't know that.
I see what you did. You're so clever.
I know. Aha, la funny. There are some exciting things. Martin Scorsese and Ron Howard both received their first ever Emmy nominations for acting, for guest starring on Seth Rogen's show, The Studio. Harrison Ford got his first Emmy nomination for Apple TV's Shrinking. Kathy Bates became the oldest nominee for Best Drama Actress for Matlock. And Drake was probably very upset to see these Emmy nominations come out because Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show got 4 nominations, including Outstanding Live Variety Special. Now, in the lead, it's Severance, which I feel like, again, is one of those shows that people could not stop talking about. It has 27 nominations. It is somewhat closely followed by The Penguin with 24 nominations. The Studio and The White Lotus have 23 nominations, and The Last of Us rounds out the top 5 with 16.
Can I tell you, I tried Severance so many times because people were saying it's like the greatest show ever on TV. The finale is amazing. So I gave it like 4 different episodes time and time again, and I just couldn't feel it.
Is that the one on Apple TV when they're like in a different world?
Yeah, they got when you leave work, then you don't remember anything from work, and when you don't remember anything at work about your personal life.
I watched the entire season continuing to think that it was going to get better and better and better, and it just constantly left me on bland. I do not get what all the hype is about.
You invested a whole season before you decided?
Yes, because everyone kept telling me, you got to stay in it. You got to stay in it. And I stayed in it. And when I got to the end of the season, I felt like I had wasted a lot of time watching that entire season.
I don't know if my ADHD is actually getting worse, but I have found myself accidentally when I go to Netflix or Apple TV or whatever now, I've noticed that my continue watching stream, you know, where it shows you the shows that you started to watch is so super long because I'm giving like shows 15 minutes and then I just move on to another show.
Same. I have the same exact problem.
You know what show you would invest more than 15 minutes in?
Love Island.
Love Island.
I tried it.
You gotta watch it. Did they get any nominations? No. Just nominations for being number one in my heart and number one in the ratings. But what I find so interesting about the Emmys versus the Oscars is, have you noticed that when people talk about the most nominated shows for the Emmys, it's things that people actually watch and enjoy. And then when you see the things that are nominated for the Oscars, it's like, I haven't seen that. I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. I went to go see it for 10 minutes. I tuned out. So it is nice to see these really popular shows that are mainstream getting these long list of nominations. I mean, 27 nominations for Severance is pretty insane. The Emmys is going to air on September 14th on CBS, and Nate Bargatze is set to host, which I think will be interesting. He's a very like dry sense of humor, so I'll be interested to see how he handles this, because I feel like a lot of times the people that host, like the comedians that get slated to do this, have these really big, charismatic personalities, but his style of comedy is very like dry, just kind of like right here,
and it's clean.
And it's clean.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be great. I think he'll do great at everything.
Yeah, we're wishing the best for him. Okay, Fyre Festival. This was interesting because we talked about this, I think, last week about the fact that Billy McFarland had put up the IP, like the brand of Fyre Fest, up on eBay for auction. So you can now own the brand of Fyre Festival. And the last time we checked in, somebody had bid about $200,000 to be able to own Fyre Fest. And it did sell on eBay, but only for $245,000. So it didn't go up much more after that. But I think that's a pretty good deal considering like the brand recognition that Fyre Fest has. Was it a good brand? Was it a good actual festival? Absolutely not. But if you can take it and turn it into something amazing, like you basically just won yourself like all the marketing you needed.
Yeah.
Because people are gonna
recognizable brand.
People are gonna want to go to Fyre Fest that actually doesn't suck.
It's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Nicki Minaj is trying to start a feud with SZA, and SZA is not having it. So it all started when Nicki called out an executive at SZA's label, Top Dog Entertainment. Nicki claimed that this executive allegedly bullied her on X, formerly known as Twitter. So then SZA, a lot of people think she replied to this with a vague tweet about Mercury being in retrograde, don't take the bait. But Nicki, she took that as a direct shot. So then she fired back with a very snarky, go draw your freckles back on, Buki. And then things escalated when Nicki went after SZA's appearance and her career, basically mocked her voice, her looks, and accused her of using her deluxe album editions to inflate her chart success. But SZA, she didn't come back directly at Nicki. She basically just said that she's on tour, she's doing well, and she's getting real love in person and dismissing the online drama as weird stuff.
Nicki being Nicki. Man, I really miss the days when Nicki would just rap. I felt like that's all she had to do. Just rap and drink water and everything would work out. But this whole new Nicki Minaj thing of always attacking somebody, going at people, and seeming to try to gain some type of clout or attention off of it, I absolutely hate this era for her.
I think it does tarnish her talent shine. You know, like, she's so talented that you don't need this.
At all.
And it almost feels like you're showing the world, like, I don't believe in my talent anymore, and this is what I am.
Ooh.
Completely agree.
That's a good point. So a lot of fans are pushing for accountability, basically saying Nicki is always fighting with everyone. We've got to cancel her. But then some people are saying that SZA likes to throw rocks and then, like, hide her hands. So a lot of people have very polarizing opinions on these two women who, you know, I think are just better when they stick to their music. All right, Miley Cyrus, she, unlike SZA, is not going on tour because she actually feels like it's just not good for her at all. Now, I feel like she's been pretty outspoken about this in terms of like her anxiety. She's talked about how going on tour has been really frightful for her, going up in front of all of those people, but she's actually now completely changing the narrative. So her most recent album is called Something Beautiful. It came out last month, but she says she has no desire to promote it on tour, despite the fact that she has the physical ability and the opportunities, because she says this is a risk to her sobriety and her mental health. She said, it's really hard to maintain sobriety when you're on the road, which is a really important pillar of stability in my life. It's hard to keep mental wellness. You have so many thousands of people screaming at you. So dopamine, you're feeling a lot of love. And then you totally crash at the end of the show. You start thinking that one person loving you is not enough. It needs to be 10,000 or it needs to be 80,000. She said, I like to do things I'm afraid of. I've jumped out of airplanes. I perform for 150,000 people. I've stood toe-to-toe with Beyonce. But in terms of touring, she said it has nothing to do with fear and it has everything to do with the fact that she just wants to make sure that she can keep her sobriety because it's such a big dopamine hit. And when you come back off and you crash, it's awful.
I commend her for knowing what's best for her and doing what's best for her, because you could be so easily swayed, not by yourself and all that validation, but the people around you, because that could be a huge money-making tour, not just for you, but for your record label and for your management and, you know, for all those. So I could see how there would be pressures from outside interested parties to be like, no, you can do this, you got this, because they're going to also reap the financial, you know, rewards.
She seems so well-adjusted for a kid that grew up, in her words, in a pretty jacked up childhood, and the way her parents dealt with her celebrity. She seems like a celebrity that you can really look up to, in that how many of these celebrities have I said over and over and over again are so addicted to their celebrity that they'll do anything to stay in the spotlight. They don't care about their mental health. It's not desperation, but it's the only life that they've ever known is in the spotlight. And here she is with this cracky kind of foundation, right? That has said, look, I'm going to do what's right for me because I know if I go down that road, it's not healthy.
Well, I think it's interesting because we kind of saw her go down that path with her Anger's era where she, like, you know, cut her hair and she was doing all these salacious things on live TV. But it's so cool to see a quote unquote Disney kid or a Disney star bounce back from that, because I feel like we've seen so many Lindsay Lohans of the world.
Amanda Bynes,
I mean, I think is a prime example. You go down that path and then you never really kind of circle back and find who you are again. So to see Miley come back and be so firm in the fact that she's willing to give up this millions and millions of dollars, not just in her pocket, but in other people's pockets for the sake of keeping her sobriety, is incredibly commendable.
You've seen this playing out with Justin Bieber right now. You know, like growing up in the spotlight and sharing your life, which is the only life he has ever known. But is it really healthy for him or not?
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
It's the Burt Show.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.